And it is game number one, Predators, Arizona. Jared Stillman here with you on a magnificent, beautiful Sunday in the Music City. All of our attention, though, at 1 o'clock today will be in Edmonton, inside the bubble, as the Nashville Predators take on Arizona in game number one of the qualifying series. Chase McCabe is with me. Chase, good morning.
Hello, Jared. How are we doing?
I am doing fantastic, and it is game day here in Smashville.
Yes,
for the first time in 5 months, the Nashville Predators will drop the puck, and they will do it for real in Edmonton against a team in Arizona who, quite frankly, would not have made the playoffs if there were actual playoffs this year. They would not have made it if it was not for the qualifying round. But as we learned yesterday, Chicago, a 12 seed, won their game against Edmonton. Montreal, a 12 seed, won their game against Pittsburgh in overtime. And as we all know, playoff hockey is wild and unpredictable. So we start with today's game. Chase, how do you feel about the Predators? We've seen all of training camp, which who knows what you can amount to that, but one really good exhibition game on Thursday against the Dallas Stars. I thought the Predators were clicking in all three periods, especially the first and the beginning of the second. They win 2-0 on two Victor Arvidsson goals. And Arizona, of course, coming in with a not-so-great performance in their game against Vegas. How do we feel? Opening thoughts on the series at large.
Yeah, and I know it's very easy, and we're going to talk about this, but it's very easy to say, oh, it's just an exhibition game. You can't get too excited about an exhibition game. But we needed to see what they looked like after the layoff, after some of the things that we saw in training camp. And, you know, I had the opportunity to be there for some of those practices while we were doing our shows, Darren Donick and Chase. And so I got to see it. It didn't look like there was a ton of rust. A lot of the players were saying, you know, there were a few things that we were trying to work through. But then they come out on Thursday against Dallas, and that was some of the best hockey I've seen them play in a long time. So I try to, you know, pump the brakes a little bit, not get too excited about that. But at the same time, if they had come out and looked really bad, I know you and I would have spent all day Friday talking about how bad they looked and how worried that makes us for the series. So I feel good from that standpoint. I know that there are a lot of questions that John Hines is going to have to answer as it pertains to his lineup, but I feel good. I think that this team has benefited from the break. I believe that there is this sense of now they feel settled with John Hines. They feel like they know this system. They're comfortable in it. And that's going to benefit them when they hit the ice today at 1 o'clock here on our air.
So I have made it official. And I made it official in the last segment of Jared and the GM on Friday. But to make it really official, I needed the help with my friends at the McDonald's on Broadway. As you drive by on Broadway, you will see right there that I am predicting the Nashville Predators will beat Arizona in 4 games. I thought the Predators looked outstanding on Thursday. I thought Arizona looked terrible. Arizona has all of these moving parts, whether it's Taylor Hall's free agency, whether or not it's the fact the team's any good. Their general manager got fired last week. A lot of things going on with Arizona. Here, I think it's pretty simple. The Predators have a chance at redemption. I didn't pick 3 games because I think Arizona's probably better than that, and their goaltending with Darcy Kuemper would make you think that they will at least eke out 1 game. That having been said, watching yesterday, I felt pretty confident Pittsburgh was going to lay waste to Montreal unless Carey Price stole a game or two, and I didn't feel like he stole yesterday's game.
No.
And then, of course, as far as Chicago and Edmonton were concerned, I mean, there's clearly a huge mismatch on paper. Edmonton's probably one of the better teams in the Western Conference, at least going back to what things were 5 months ago. Edmonton was probably one of the better teams in the Western Conference. Chicago, it was more concerned about Alex Lafreniere and getting the number one pick than they were what they could do in the playoffs, and they absolutely blitzed Edmonton yesterday on their home ice. And so you have to be nervous based upon what you saw yesterday about what that means. I mean, the truth is while the Predators were, and I agree with you, we needed to see what we saw from the Predators on Thursday. I think the Predators needed to see what they had Thursday. At the same time, though, I would be lying if I didn't say that yesterday's games, coupled with the long layoff and added to the fact that playoff hockey in general is very unpredictable, make me nervous about today's game. On paper, the Predators are clearly the better team, and yet there's still a level of nervousness based simply upon what I saw yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, but, you know, the NCAA tournament has taught us 12-5. You got to always be wary of that matchup, and that's what we saw yesterday with the 12s beating the 5s. I agree with what you said about Chicago. I thought that they dominated. Edmonton is a team that I don't know. I don't trust them in the playoffs. Even though I picked them to win this series, that I thought Chicago just had sold off too much. Who knows? I think Edmonton might prove me wrong and just blow this one and Chicago wins. But as for the Predators, I understand your concerns, and I share some of those. We agree on something, though. We agree on the Preds in four. So I saw your picture you posted on your Instagram account of the McDonald's. I heard you on Friday, and I was like, wow, okay, we'll have to talk about this on Sunday. Jared and I are on the same page with that when it comes to the Preds in four. But there's just something, I see a little bit of that swagger that we've talked about that the Predators have missed basically all season. You can go back to October and the start, and you saw some of it, but even then, you could just tell that things were off, and ultimately it led to a coaching change. And now John Hines has come in. They're comfortable with him, but in a way that, you know, he's still going to push them, but now it's like everybody's on the same page. And I think that that's going to be a benefit to them when they start this game in this series today. The big key to me, though, is going to be the fast start, because that's something that, to a man, you ask any of those guys in that locker room, they always tell you that that's something they focus on, and that's been a problem for them this season. When the opponent scores first, the Predators are 8-20-4 this year. When the Preds score first, they're 27-6-4. That shows you how important the fast start really is for the Predators today.
So I've always felt like you can look at some of these teams that have the offensive firepower, and you can say, like, take Chicago yesterday. They gave up a power play goal to Edmonton right off the jump. But Chicago does have the firepower. I mean, Chicago has the kind of team, and I know I'm bringing up a game that happened yesterday, but I'm referencing it, you know, as far as the Predators are concerned, where we always looked at Chicago and said, you know what, they suck. But if they ever got into the playoffs, you wouldn't want to play them because of Taves and Kane and Keith and Saad, and all of those guys had good games yesterday, and their rookie just went off. The Predators don't have that. And to your point about starting fast, I don't think the Predators really in their history have been a good coming-from-behind team. I mean, I know they've won some games where they've given up the first goal, but how many times in the playoffs have they been a team that gets down and comes back and wins games? That's really not what they do. So I'm with you. I think a fast start's important. We saw it on Thursday against Dallas. They got out there, got a power play goal right off the bat, and it really helped them kind of go to the next level. So I felt great about what they did Thursday. I agree with you, a fast start's important. I also think the other thing here is the Predators are going to have a lot of cohesion. The Joffe line is back together. The second line, those guys, say what you want, those guys, specifically Granlund and Turris, have played much better with John Hines as the coach. The defensive pairings have been together for a long time. This team is a chemistry team that got them to the Cup Final 3 years ago. It's roughly the same group of guys. That's going to play a role today as well, is the familiarity that the Predators have with one another, because there's one game and then it's go. And that's where they are now, is they're at go. And I do wonder, you know, how important winning game one is in a best of five series. I know how important it is in baseball, but it's a little different in baseball because you use your best pitcher in the first game. And then maybe you can bring that best pitcher back in the fourth game or the fifth game. It's not really an issue in hockey. So you wonder how important in a best of five is that first game going to be today? That's on the list, as well as what the Predators have to accomplish. And most importantly, no excuses. A team like Arizona, if they lose to a good team, the Predators, there's a chance that the good team just beats them, that the good team just plays better than them, that there's a legitimate chance. I have a hard time believing they could lose this series to Arizona without it being mostly their fault.
Oh, I agree. I mean, they should have control of the series. They're the better team, and they need to play like the better team. And I understand that in their history, and we just played Game 6 remastered from that run to the Stanley Cup Final, and they were the underdogs that entire run. I mean, everybody picked Chicago to sweep them, and it was the other way around. So I understand that plays into the kind of the how this team is built. But you have to take care of business when you are picked to take care of business and when you're supposed to take care of business. And on paper, as you said, the Nashville Predators are the better team. Now, Arizona is a team that I think is on the rise. I like the Rick Tocchet, their head coach. They have Phil Housley that we haven't really talked that much about, but he's an assistant coach and has been a big part of that. The team that they have put together, mix of veterans and young players, I really do think that they have a bright future. But right now, the Predators have the veterans that have the skins on the wall. They've been there before. When they're all on the same page and they play as a cohesive unit, they should be unstoppable against a team like Arizona. It's just believing that they can put it all together and having that confidence. That's why Thursday was so important, that they could go out, even in an exhibition game, against a rival team and take care of business like they did. That's why I think that's important, because their confidence is up.
Game number one is today, Predators and Arizona. John Hines has a humongous decision to make, which we will get to. All of our coverage beginning right now at 10 a.m. We will start pregame at noon. Puck drop is at 1 o'clock. Again, all of the action taking place in Edmonton inside the bubble. Chase, what did you think of yesterday's performances inside the bubble, both in Toronto and Edmonton? As I watched an entire slate of hockey, it felt like I was watching a Saturday of the NCAA tournament watching hockey yesterday. What did you take away from yesterday's game, and what did you think of the Preds when watching other teams play yesterday?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I thought the presentation that the NHL has put together in both Toronto and Edmonton with no fans, they've done a really good job with that. I can tell that it's a made-for-TV product, so I enjoyed that. But the hockey itself, I mean, Carolina and New York, that was the first game. That was so much fun to watch. And Carolina, that's my pick in that series. I felt that they had control, but, you know, they let the Rangers get back into it towards the end. They win that game. We mentioned Chicago and Edmonton, and Chicago being the scrappy little underdog that really dominated that game against Edmonton. So that was a lot of fun to watch. In the West, Barry Trotz and the Islanders getting it done. I like them. I like the Islanders a lot. And I think that Joel Quenneville will turn Florida around. He's already started that process. I just don't think they're there yet. I think they're probably a year off. And so I believe the Islanders can take care of that. Montreal, Pittsburgh, you know, who knows what's really going to happen with that. And then what did you think about Winnipeg and Calgary and the hit on Scheifele by Tkachuk? I know Winnipeg,
I think he broke his leg or tore his knee up.
Yeah, I think they've lost him.
That was an ugly hit. I was actually watching Montreal-Pittsburgh when the hit happened, and so Ryan texted me and was like, hey, look at the Scheifele hit, and I flipped over and I saw it, and it was a pretty dirty hit. It wasn't super dirty. Like, it wasn't like Brad Marchand-level dirty.
Like, he meant to. I just think it was an awkward hit.
Yeah, I mean, again, it wasn't like he slew-foot the guy and his head hit the ice, right, and it was something like just egregiously dirty. But at the same time, it was probably a dirty hit. I liked Wheeler going after him. I mean, the intensity level for these games, and that's an example of it, the intensity level of these games is high. I mean, this was playoff hockey yesterday. It's sloppier than your average playoff hockey, but this was playoff hockey yesterday. And that's what we're going to see today. That's where, you know, with Arizona, as crappy as they looked against Vegas on Thursday, Arizona is going to be playing like it's a playoff game today, and the Predators better not feel good about themselves after what they did against Dallas on Thursday, because that's what has gotten the Predators into a lot of messes in the past, is not being able to follow up a big win, which I would say Thursday's exhibition game was a big win, not being able to follow up the big win with another great performance. Tonight, they're not going to have that kind of luxury. No. Coming up next here on the show, John Hines has a major decision to make. We will break down that decision. While I think it's obvious what he's going to do, what do we think the subsequent ramifications of that decision are? Plus, if you want to get in, text into the show, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on today's game, your thoughts on the Predators, your thoughts on it all. The text line is open at 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM is tomorrow. Preds Extra is right now. Chase McCabe, we're kicking off our coverage. It's game one today on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
You have to be very pleased with the player of your goalie. So if you can just talk about that a little bit, and based on how things went today, is the plan to start Saros in game one Sunday?
Well, both players played well. You know, I thought Juice looked, his normal self. I thought he was very confident. He made some big saves. He was in the right position. And then Pex came in, and I think his first shot was a half breakaway, kind of on a breakdown there. And he made some good saves down the stretch. So, you know, once again, it's a great problem to have. We got two goalies we think can help us win, and it was nice to see them both perform well. We'll take a day here to evaluate. Obviously, we don't play until Sunday, and then we'll make our decision.
That was John Hines, and I have contended. Preds Extra, Jared Stillman, Chase McCabe. I have contended. John Hines had already made his decision when he said, and then we'll get to Sunday, and we'll make our decision. I'm guessing that he had already made his decision at that point. I believe the decision is certainly made by now, as they will drop the puck in a mere 3 hours. I would say this. It's going to be UC Saros today. I would be stunned if it's not UC Saros in net today for the Predators. But the question has to be asked, one, what does that mean? And two, what are kind of the ramifications of the series by the Predators deciding to go with Saros today in game one?
So this is my theory as I answer your question. I believe before they left for Edmonton, the decision was made. And I think it was UC Saros. And I've been, I at first when training camp opened, I was like, you know, I think Pekka's got a good chance just because of the experience and what he's done in the past in the playoffs. But I believe UC Saros did enough in training camp to keep his job because he had that job at the end of the regular season. So I think that the decision was made. Now, my theory for you is, I do believe in the game against Dallas that Pekka made him think a little bit. And that's maybe why he hasn't just come out and said, because one thing I've learned about John Hines, as opposed to Peter Laviolette, he's a little more forthcoming on information than Peter Laviolette used to be. And when I say a little, I mean a lot. A lot of times you ask him a question, he's going to answer it, and he hasn't done that with his goaltender. I even tried to bring it up with David Poile on Friday, and he was noncommittal on it. So I do believe that Pekka Rinne made them think about it. But with all that said, they're going to go with UC Saros. I know that there could be a concern that he doesn't have the playoff experience, but you have to start somewhere. I mean, Pekka Rinne didn't have playoff experience when he started that first game way back when in 2010 against Chicago, but he was the guy, and he had earned that right to be the guy. And so you have to give the young goalie the opportunity to go out there and keep his spot until he can't keep it anymore. Now, I think the leash will be short because John Hines knows he has the ace in the hole of Pekka Rinne that he can go to. I mean, he said it himself. It is a great problem for them to have, that you have two guys that are capable of starting these types of games for you. So if UC struggles today, then my guess is in game two, you're going to see Pekka Rinne. If UC goes out there and gets the win and plays well, he's going to get it in game two, and then you have to decide what to do with the back-to-back, which I do believe both goaltenders will end up playing, because I think it's going to take both of them to go all the way in this format and to win the Stanley Cup. Plus, we've seen that in the regular format. We've seen teams use two goaltenders throughout the playoffs. So I think they go Saros too, but he's got a great situation with Pekka right behind him.
So I think he's going Saros today, and Saros is going to get a fair crack at it. I wonder this, though. Is the plan to use Pekka in game three or use Pekka in game two? Yes, it's a great problem to have. It's great that if Saros stinks it up today, that they can go to Rinne in game two. I mean, it's nice to be able to do that. I don't expect Saros to stink it up. Let's say Saros wins game one, and then you get into game two. Does your plan now become, okay, if we lose game two, then we go to Rinne game three? Or do you say if we win game two, then we stay with Saros, or we play Rinne game three regardless because we're up 2-0 and we want to give him the day off? And I personally don't think Saros is going to struggle going back-to-back if that's what they ask him to do. I mean, to be honest, like, I thought the first line, the Jofa line, was good on Thursday, and it gave me a lot of hope and optimism that they can continue to be good. But I'm still not sold that it's going to translate over when the bullets start flying. Same with the second line and Turris and that group. I don't really have any reservations about Saros starting today. I mean, I think Saros is going to play well. Mm-hmm. I think Saros is going to play well in game two if he goes in game two. I think he's going to play well like he's played well throughout the last 2 years, whatever have you. The question has to be, though, you know, what is the plan? Is the plan just whenever you lose, go to the next guy? Is it go to the next guy so they don't play back-to-back? Is it ride Saros for as long as possible? Is it if Saros gives up three goals, yank him out? I mean, how do you do this if you're John Hines? What is kind of in your mind for not only today, but for the whole series and how that could play out?
Well, I think in some ways you have to take it game by game. And the reason I say that is because it depends on how much work whoever starts gets. So, for instance, let's say we agree that it's going to be UC Saros. So UC Saros goes out there today and they win, and Arizona just doesn't get a lot of chances on him. He doesn't get a lot of work. Well, okay. So that's good going into game two. You bring up the back-to-backs. The same rule applies. If Saros plays in game two and doesn't get a lot of work, doesn't face a lot of shots, then you're not as worried about him playing the back-to-back as you would be if he has to stop 50 shots and it's a close game. Then you probably do go to Rene. It really depends on how the game plays out. Another part of this too is, you know, one thing that John Hines said when he was asked, okay, what were some things that you didn't like about the game against Dallas, is he said, I thought we in the third period we had to defend too much. I liked the way we defended, which is big, because that was a big problem for the Predators this year, that they weren't playing that great in front of whoever was in net. You can go and look at Pecorine's stats, and he wasn't good at times. He just wasn't. You can go look at UC Saros' stats, and there were times that he wasn't good, but they weren't getting a lot of help in front of him. The hope is that that problem is fixed, that the defense is going to be much better, and so that factors into your decision as well. It's all about how much work the goaltender actually gets in the course of a game that I think helps decide what happens the rest of the way in the series. So I believe it's a game-by-game decision. Of just kind of what the game plan is for John Hines.
If they lose today, does Saros start on Tuesday? I mean, does Rene start on Tuesday?
It depends on what the loss looks like.
So I agree. I do think there's some how there. If you lose 1-0 in overtime, it's hard for me to think that you would change the goalie. If you lose 4-1, even if it's not a bad 4-1, you know, Saros gives up 3-2 on a power play where the defense just lets him down, and then an empty netter, and it's a 4-1 final. I still think they make the move. Even if it's not Saros' fault, I think they make the move. Where in the past they would not have made the move off of Pekka, I think they will be more willing to make the move to Pekka, even if Saros plays okay. If they lose, you're in a tough spot, though, because, I mean, I think Hines, and this is no offense to Rene, I think Hines thinks Saros is better.
Well, he
so
doesn't...
if you think in your heart that Saros is better and he plays okay and you lose game one, then do you really want to put yourself on the brink and not use your best goalie?
No, I agree, because he doesn't know. Number one, he doesn't have the history with Pecorine like Peter Laviolette did. And I believe that that was a part of the issue, that there was so much loyalty there. And I don't fault Peter Laviolette for that, but it was very hard for him to make those decisions. It was an emotional decision to have to make that and make that change. John Hines doesn't have that type of connection. He doesn't know these guys like Peter Laviolette did. So that helps out. What I will say, though, is how many times have you had a conversation with somebody, you're talking about a game and you go, oh, that was a good win, or man, that was a really bad loss. Well, you can make the argument all wins are good, all losses are bad, but that's not true. If you gave the example, if Saros loses 1-0 and it's a close game and just a goal gets past him, you go back to him. That's not his fault. That's just hockey. That's just a very good hockey game, and Arizona was able to eke it out. If he loses 4-1, like you threw out, and just looks off, then, yeah, you have to make the change. You have to be quick about it, because you don't have time to settle in and figure it all out. So that's what I mean by it depends on what the loss looks like. It depends on what the win looks like, because you've seen guys that – or you've seen this team win some – that, oh, they didn't deserve to win that. Saros didn't look good, or Rene didn't look good, but they eked it out. It really just depends on how it plays out.
Do you think that Hines is willing to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to make my decision on a day-by-day basis, or do you think he's got this mapped out for what he wants this to look like, both good and bad?
I think he has an idea of what he wants it to look like, but I think he's also been around long enough in sports to know that that plan could change on a daily basis. I think he has several ideas. I think there's, well, if this happens, then we'll do this. If this happens, then we're going to do that. So I do believe there's a plan, but he also recognizes that he may have to change. He may have to adjust on the fly, and that's what separates, you know, the good coaches from the great coaches. And that was one thing that I thought Peter Laviolette was good at, that he could adjust on the fly. Sometimes he did it too much, but he could change his plan just like that and adapt to whatever the opponent is throwing at him. So that's what Hines is going to have to do.
So I think there's a couple of things at play here. One is you're almost talking about what the worst case scenario is, which is okay. And I'm fine with that. And quite frankly, I probably do that a little bit too much. I think we have a society right now where people just don't pretend that they want to hear anything that could be negative. It's like, so what if you lose? Ah, don't bring that up. Don't, no.
Why you got to be that way, Jared? You're just so negative.
Yeah, like, to me, I mean, we have car insurance for a reason, people. Like, no offense, I have a life insurance policy. I hope I don't have to use it anytime soon. I really hope I don't have to use it ever. But I hope I don't have to use it anytime soon. You know, like, it'd be nice, but I still have it because I need it. And so I think that's what coaches, what people that are responsible have to do. And this is a situation where I think the most likely outcome, though, is I expect Soros to play great today. Yeah. I really do. You know, this is going to sound crazy, but Pekka, and I love Pekka, and I would have no qualms if Pekka started today, although it wouldn't make a lot of sense. But Pekka does have one of those problems of just crapping his pants at times in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We've seen it. We all know it. We know the feeling of, oh, no. Game 7 of the Winnipeg series. I'm sitting in my seats in Section 109, and Ryan Porth is sitting there in the in one of the little tunnels or whatever where all the media people and Preds people stand during the games. And he's standing there, and he said that when the second fluke goal went into the net, that he said he looked at me, and I had my hand and like a fist with the thumb out, just saying, get him out. And we've seen that. I've never seen that from Soros.
Right.
I mean, I know he's had some games where he hadn't been great.
If he plays long enough, he will. But I mean, that's just.
Sure. But I've never seen Soros have games where it just feels like he goes down his leg to start the game. Rene, and I love him, but he's had some of those games. Tuukka Rask has a lot of those games. Like, those are the kind of goal. Like, they're really good goalies. Connor Hellebuck has those kind of games. They're really good goalies. Matt Murray has had some of those games. But they just sometimes, we saw, I think it happened to Corey Crawford in game one here a handful of years ago, where he just absolutely went down his leg and Scott Darling had to come into the game. And so I don't feel like that's going to happen with Soros. I think Soros is up to the task. I think he has checked every box along the way to be deserving of the start today, and not only deserving of the start, but to give me the belief that he will go out there and win for the Predators.
Yeah, and he's earned the opportunity. He's earned the right to do it. And I do believe that I brought up loyalty earlier, and I don't think you do this, but I know sometimes I find myself, even just the fan comes out, and I go, I'm thinking, man, I want Pekka to win a cup. He's done so much for the city. He's done so much for the organization. So you hate not having him be the guy, the hero that he's been in the past. But at the same time, you want to win the cup. You want to see that come to the city. And if Soros is truly the best guy, then that's where you have to go. Now, I used the term ace in the hole earlier. I think that Pekka can be that. I look at his stats, and I know that the past is in the past. But historically, he's 29-2 against Arizona in his career. He's very good against the Coyotes. That's something that you have to keep in the back of your mind, that if you need him, break glass in case of emergency, you know that you have him. Now, where Pekka has to be ready is because there's times when he's not playing on a consistent basis that it takes him a while to kind of get back into that rhythm. He has to condition himself, and I believe he's done that, to be the backup and be ready to go whenever his number is called.
Jared Stillman, Chase McCabe getting you set for game number one. Coming up next, we will look at the lack of playoff experience and what does that mean for UC Soros as we expect him to get the start in game number one today. Let me tell you, though, that the watch parties are ready to rock and roll for today's game. And again, of course, they want everybody to be safe. And of course, we are all for that as well. But we got the watch parties going on. Don't miss a second of the action. As the Predators take on Arizona today, watch party viewing destinations include Burger Republic and Party Foul. Stop by Burger Republic in Lenox Village or Mount Juliet and enjoy the Fours Burger for a limited time and $4 Happen Harry Pints. Party Foul today, their locations at Cool Springs, Galleria in Franklin, in Murfreesboro off of Broad Street, and Donaldson off of Lebanon Pike, and downtown in the Gulch. Wear your gold and bring the noise to root on the Predators. Both Party Foul and Burger Republic will be following social distancing guidelines while you watch and root on the Predators today. So be sure to enjoy that. If you've got a thought on today's game, text it into the text line at 615-737-1025. Chase McCabe is with me. It's Preds Extra as we get you set for game number one today between the Predators and the Arizona Coyotes. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the app that has all the games, all the pregame coverage, all the postgame coverage. You got to tap the app, the Game Nashville app.
Haskinen brings it in, backhand feed for Hintz, and that one is snatched down by UC Saros as he reached up to his left.
Made it look pretty routine, but that's a quick shot off the rush. Saros tracking the puck really well.
And it is Pecorine in net for Nashville. Bursting in after the puck in front and tipping it right on Gurianov. And Rene frustrates him.
Yeah, good job coming over with the left pad. Kind of a little traffic coming at him. That's the way to get involved, isn't it? Oh. Jump right in the game. Go stretch a little in the back. Bex and come out and make a save right off the bat.
Both goalies combined to pitch a shutout in Thursday's showcase game, a.k.a. exhibition against Dallas. But considering the fact that Dallas is a good team, and this is all we've got to go off of, a good showing from both goalies. Saros went in there, I believe, with the starting job and did not disappoint. Rene made better saves and made more saves in Thursday's shutout. Jared Stillman, Chase McCabe. One stat of note, which I think is an obvious stat to everybody. Pecorine has made 89 starts in the playoffs in his career. Now, he's 45 and 44, but he has literally stolen games and stolen series in his career. He stole the 2011 series against Anaheim. He stole the 2011 two games they won against Vancouver. He stole the series against Detroit in 2012. He also stole a lot of big games down the 2017 run and the 2016 run, if you remember that. He was fantastic last year in the playoffs against Dallas, especially game two, a game in which they won, game three, a game in which he stole, and game six, a game in which they lost in overtime, but he was absolutely positively outstanding. So, Chase McCabe, what do you make as we go in today with the expectation that UC Saros will get the start in goal for game one? What do you make of UC Saros and his lack of experience?
Well, it's like I said earlier, you have to start somewhere, and I know he's come in relief a few times, and you can make a case that maybe he should have a little more experience. That, you know, maybe Peter Laviolette should have gone to him in the Pittsburgh series in the Stanley Cup final, but that's in the past. I think Pekka's resume is tremendous, and I like how you broke it down of games that he dominated, games that he stole, because the great goaltenders that are in the Hall of Fame and that we talk about all the time, they had to steal some. That's what makes them great, because the team around them is not playing well. With all that said, I trust that UC Saros can do that. I believe that he can, based on what I have seen, not only this season, but when he has been called upon in the past for regular season starts or what have you. He has earned my trust. He has earned the trust of the coaching staff. There was a time where he didn't have any of our trust. And it looked like, ooh, I don't know. Maybe all the hype on him isn't right. But he grew into the role. I think that he's done a good job of working with Ben Vanderklok, the goalie coach. He's done a good job of watching Pecorine, listening to Pecorine, and taking some of that and making it his own. So, yeah, you don't have stats to back up what he could do in the playoffs because he hasn't had the experience, but you have to start somewhere. I mean, I go and I look at Pecorine when he first started and playing in the playoffs in 2010. He didn't have that experience, and he went out there and looked like he had been doing it for a long time. that's the faith that I have in UC Saros when they go out there today, if in fact he is the guy like we think he's going to be. And another thing, too, that you have to rely on, and I thought that John Hines said this well when he was on with us last week, you have to rely on the news of the day. You can't look back necessarily at what happened in the regular season. It was so long ago. But you have to have the faith that if he decides that it's going to be UC Saros, that, okay, that's the guy, and you have to trust that he can get it done.
So one little interesting nugget about the Predators as far as Saros is concerned. Yes, he's never started a playoff game, but UC Saros, because Peter Laviolette is so anti-using his timeouts early in games, he consistently would pull the goalie and would use that as an excuse to call a timeout, which makes a little bit of sense, but sometimes I think he was better off calling the timeout. That being said, Saros made his first playoff appearance in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final, in which he was 2 of 2. He got in Game 5, which was a game in which the Predators got absolutely blitzed early on and never had a chance of winning, gave up 3 goals in that game. Other than that, UC Saros has been put into some pretty big playoff moments, and while he's never gotten a decision in any of these games, there's one game that gives me a lot of optimism and one game that kind of bothers me a little bit. The game that gives me optimism was against Colorado. Pekka got pulled very early in that game. That was Game 3. The Predators were up 2-0 in the series, and Colorado goes up 3-0 in the first period, and immediately Rene gets pulled. Now, he gives up a goal to McKinnon in the second, but the Predators got back into the game, and other than an empty netter, the Predators are losing by 2, but Saros kept them in that game. Then there's Winnipeg Game 7. Not that I was asking Saros to go out in that game and down 2-0, will the Predators back to victory. And once you're chasing a game, the way you play offensively and defensively is really independent of the goalie. But in that game, the Predators made it on a PK Subban power play goal 2-1 going into the second. And Saros gave up 2 more goals, including a backbreaker in the third period on the power play, that you would have hoped a goalie, if he's good enough to take over the job for Pekka Rinne, would have been ready to stop. Now, that was 2 years ago, and he's different now. And he's going in with where you're not chasing a game and you're not losing, but he does have a little playoff experience, which is good, but the playoff experience also isn't completely good in and of itself. So we'll have to take a look at that, as both of us expect UC Saros to make his first start today in play. And I guess this technically isn't the playoffs, but I guess the stats count as playoff. It's his first playoff start.
Yeah, it's a playoff game.
It's a playoff game. You watched the hockey yesterday. That was intense playoff hockey, watching them out there on the ice, and he's going to make his first playoff start today. The one thing I will say, and you've said this 2 or 3 times already today, you got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, Tom Brady never started a playoff game, but when they got out there against Oakland in the Tuck Rule game, which was Brady's first playoff start, nobody ever said, well, you know, Bledsoe's got all this experience. Nobody said that. I mean, Brady had to play in order to get his first playoff start. Same with UC Saros today, which I think is, I guess I'm optimistic. I expect UC Saros to go out there and play well. I mean, let's be honest about UC. Since the beginning of the year, when Rinne was really good, and I'm talking like October, and I think Saros struggled at for the first half of the season, UC Saros has been one of the best goalies in the league and has done absolutely nothing to make you think he can't handle the job they're going to give them today.
Yeah, and that is, you bring up, I'm glad you brought that up, because Pekka Rinne historically starts off, you know, pretty well, playing pretty well. UC Saros has had slow starts in his career. This year was one of them. So that is one thing that has concerned me. And early on in this conversation, you know, before camp even started, that was one reason why I was leaning towards Pekka Rinne getting the job, just because of how UC Saros has started. But I believe that if John Hines has made the decision that it is UC Saros, that I'm going to trust him to do that, because that's another part of this equation. Do you trust John Hines? And my answer to that is yes, I do. He has earned my trust, that I know that he is capable of making that decision and being right about it. And so that's exactly what I think he's done and what's going to happen. So and you bring up the playoff experience, and I think that that small sample size that we have, that's good to rely upon. And it's just kind of like with us. I mean, if somebody's like, well, you know, Jared Stillman doesn't have a lot of experience hosting a show like this. I don't know if we should go to him. Well, how are you going to get the experience? You have to do it. And so
615,
I think that's what's going to happen.
615-737-1025 on the text line. Text or text in and says, Chase, Jared, I believe that the Predators are best off with UC Saros. However, do you think that John Hines will have a quick in-game trigger if things don't go well, Chase? I'll open it up to you.
That's a good question because, like I said, it depends on how the game is playing out. If he's not getting a lot of help around him or he just looks completely off and it's very apparent, yes, he will. He will go to Pecorine. But I think there could be some instances where he just lets it play out, where if, okay, maybe they're a little slow to start, lets a couple quick goals in, he might let him work out of it. It's like a pitcher that sometimes you have to, you know, I thought Bobby Cox was always very good at that with the Braves, that if a pitcher wasn't doing that great, he kind of let him work through it, work out of it, and then it was fine. So it just depends on what's happening in the game at the time.
I do not think that he will make a quick pull on Saros today. I think he will make a move to Saros. If he feels like he has to make the move to Saros, he will make that in between games, or the game will get out of hand and any goalie would get pulled if he's going to end up making that kind of move. Coming up next, what did we take away from Thursday's win against Dallas? How important was it to us, and how does it make us feel going into this game against Arizona today? We will touch on that next. Preds Extra continues. Jared Stillman, Chase McCabe, ESPN 102.5, the game.
It comes back into the Nashville end. Roman Josi down the right wing side. They try to get around Johns. Fed in front of the score. Victor Arvidsson took a quick feed back. Philip Forsberg gave it to him. 2-0 Predators.
Oh, there's the song. And how about the little dingle dangle from Philip Forsberg? Ends up being a lucky bounce that gets it in, but the hands on Forsberg on showcase there, just dangling around Johns, finding the backhand pass over to Arvidsson. Arvidsson shoots it back. I can't tell what it went off of, but it went five hole on Bishop, and that's right off Johns' skate.
Yeah.
So a tough play for Johns, a beautiful play for Forsberg, and a nice fortunate bounce for Arvidsson. I think he was trying to go back to Forsberg. Ended up in the back of the net.
Predators 2-0 to Victor Arvidsson. Goals on Thursday in their showcase exhibition game against Dallas. Could not have gone better. Preds Extra, Jared Stillman, Chase McCabe, getting you set for today's game number one. Chase, what did you take away from Thursday's win, and how impressed were you with the Predators, and how much more confident does that make you going into today and the series with Arizona?
Well, it makes me very confident, and the reason is, we started this talking about Jofa being put back together, but it's not just they've been put back together collectively, it's what I saw individually out of them. A great setup from Forsberg. I thought Ryan Johansson, even though we didn't talk about him as much, you didn't hear his name called as much, he was definitely making a difference down the middle on that line. And Victor Arvidsson looked like Victor Arvidsson. He looked healthy. He looked like he had his confidence back. Even after he took that hit on the knee that he was slow to get up and he was slow going to the bench, we all kind of had held our breath for a second. We're worried about him, but he seems to be fine. That was one of my big takeaways, and also the fact that they shut out Dallas and we didn't hear that stupid Dallas Stars goal song, so that was good that we didn't hear that. But no, in all seriousness, I really liked how the I say superstars for the Preds, how they played, because that's what they're going to need. That top six is going to have to really step up for them to be successful, not only against Arizona, but if they want to go far in this tournament. So I liked the play of Jofa and the second line. That was what stood out to me.
How important was that game for you? Because I can then argue Arizona looked terrible in their game Thursday night against Vegas. Does that make you more optimistic about the series? And yet at the same time, it doesn't. Like, I'm glad Arizona didn't look like they were, you know, the next coming of the Edmonton Oilers the night of the tornado, where they scored 8 goals here at Bridgestone Arena. But at the same time, it doesn't make me think that Arizona's going to roll over either.
Yeah, I don't think they are. And that's where you have to be careful with exhibition games, that you can't take too much away, but I also go back to how we started the show that I know you know me. If they had come out and played like absolute crap on Thursday, you would have spent your entire show talking about how they played like absolute crap and how that worries you going into this series. It's a natural reaction. And now that they've won and we saw some good things, you want to try and temper those expectations. You want to be like, hey, it's an exhibition game. I liked it, felt good about it. There's some stuff to take away. So I get all that you're trying to balance it, but I'm sure in Arizona, those talking about the Coyotes, they were like, hey, if they play like that, they're not going to be in this thing very long. I mean, Nashville's going to take this in three. So you just have to be careful of getting too high, getting too low. But you definitely like some of the things you saw. The things they need to clean up, I still think there's work to be done defensively. John Hines said it best, that he didn't like how they had to defend as much in the third period, that they may have taken their foot off the gas a little bit. And that's been an issue for the Predators, that they get going in a game, they start to get that swagger, their confidence, but maybe they get a little too confident and the other team comes back. So that's something that I want to see them clean up. You gotta play the full 60, and that's what John Hines is preaching.
Craig Morgan will join us. He basically is the only person who covers the Arizona Coyotes. They are not a popular team within their own market. Craig Morgan's going to join us coming up with his thoughts on what Arizona did, or more importantly, didn't do on Thursday night against Vegas. They looked horrific on Thursday night, and yet this was an Arizona team that acquired Taylor Hall before the deadline in hopes of trying to make some kind of a run for it. So we'll check in there to see just what is going on with Arizona. How much of a threat are they? We'll discuss. That is all coming up. Hey, it is important to remind the fine folks out there about the Preds Foundation. That's right. Today's game, the auction is live. Text Preds to 76278 to see the items and place your bid. The auction will close at the start of the third period today, and every game during the playoff run, they will have an auction. The Preds Foundation is empowered by the Smile Direct Club, so get in on that. Again, if you'd like to do so, you can text Preds to 76278 to see their auction item, and again, they will close at the start of the third period. We are just kicking it off. We are 1 hour away from pregame, 2 hours and a little bit of change away from puck drop. It is game number one today. All of your coverage is right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the flagship station of the Nashville Predators Radio Network.